Listener Deb writes in, what is your take on hypnosis training for weight loss? We give you our opinions and portions of an interview with a hypnotherapist this week on episode 33 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to show number 33. How are you doing this week, Jeff?
I'm doing awesome, but I see we have to get your weigh in right now. So how much do you weigh?
Well, this week I weighed in at 263, and I'm down like 1.4, 1.5 pounds from the last show.
Because one thing I noticed, because you typed in your weight here before we started the show, you are down 33 pounds, and this is show number 33. And that has always kind of been the goal, to keep ahead of the show, right?
Yeah, you know, I just noticed that myself. I you cannot have planned that any better. I typed that in, and you know, we're doing shows kind of out of sequence here, and it happens to be 33 here on show number 33. So that's cool.
So that's awesome. I mean, we got to go another 2 years to get you down to your goal weight, but. But that is awesome. That's good to see those numbers catching up to our shows, because that was a big concern for a couple of weeks when you were kind of slowing down there in your weight loss.
Yeah, well, it's been accelerating, and luckily it's slowed down a little bit, but I cannot complain. But what's going on in Calgary?
Well, I just had some cedar plank salmon on the barbecue the other day, and boy, I've never done that before. You actually go out and you buy cedar planks, and you soak them for a couple hours in the sink, you put them on the barbecue, you put a nice seasoned huge steak of salmon on there, let it cook. It kind of burns up the cedar plank, but the taste is just awesome. I tell you, that was amazing. I'm gonna buy some more of that for sure coming up. Have you ever had that?
You know, my mother-in-law made that the other day, and I happened to get the little taste of it. I can't say I was a fan of this particular fish, but it sounded like a really good idea. And I'll have to tear apart my closet to get myself some cedar planks.
Geez, you guys down in California, it never rains, never snows, just perfect temperature. You have cedar plank salmon left and right. Geez, you guys have it made down there. But anyways, what else is going down there besides having it made?
Well, you know, my wife's still recuperating from her tummy tuck. That's been 2 weeks now. And so I've been kind of Mr. Mom, going to work, taking care of kids when they're at home. But also this month here in June is month 3 of my Couch to 5K program, and I'm upping the number of minutes running. And I say, so far so good on my knee. I'm not having any pain at all on the knee, and it's going really well.
Well, that sounds awesome. All right, let's move on to our email and comment section. And this week's going to be a little bit different from our regular format, because we have a lengthy email that we are going to discuss and cover in detail, and it's talking about hypnosis and hypnotherapy. So what we're going to do is read through the email and then go into a lot of detail. And we actually have another interview that Russ did about a year ago with a hypnotherapist that we're going to pull some clips out of. So before we read the email, let's let everyone know how they can contact us if they want to send us a comment.
Yes, the first way to get in hold of us is by leaving a comment at the website, fattofitradio.com.
Or they can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
And the often neglected third way is to leave a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button over on fattofitradio.com and entering your name and phone number and leaving us a free voicemail.
And you can always join our support group at fattofitsupport.com. Hi, I've got to tell you, I feel awkward. Ready, you guys, but you've really helped me, and I thought you should know you're making a difference in people's lives. I started listening to the podcast to help me through the workouts. It's pretty cool to get lost in the conversation, and the workout is done before I know it. I know that I'm continuing to work out hard because I do the pre-programmed workouts on my treadmill and bike.
Honestly, this is the first time I have ever taken the time to do something like this. I am used to doing things on my own. A couple of years ago, I trained by myself for a marathon. It seems most people feel they need company in the long process of training for a marathon. So you see, it has been enlightening to learn that I can learn to accept others' help. My story is like many of the others I hear on your podcast. I am a 43-year-old, 5'4" woman who found myself weighing in at 182 pounds.
I mentioned I ran a marathon a few years ago. I am proud to say I finished in a little over 4 hours. That's awesome. It is an experience I will never forget, but it bewilders me how I could accomplish a truly ardent task such as a marathon, but have such trouble controlling my weight. I decided to train for the marathon for a couple of reasons. I have 3 daughters, and I wanted them and myself to see that their stay-at-home mom could set a goal and accomplish it. The training time was just for me, and of course, I wanted to lose a little weight. Before I started, I weighed in somewhere around 155, and by the time I finished, I weighed about 145 pounds.
It amazes me to this day that a person could run for sometimes up to 3 hours and lose so little weight. I'm not sure, maybe it affected my mindset, but obviously after the marathon, by the way, I no longer run, the extra weight proved to be painful to many of my joints. I gained a significant amount of weight. I, like most other people, looked for every secret weight loss product out there only to be disappointed. I even tried to find some medical reason. Fortunately, I am healthy for now.
So about 6 months ago, I decided enough was enough, and the bottom line was it was going to take forever, but I was going to start controlling my eating and hopefully lose some of this weight. I managed to lose 30 pounds. Great, but I have slowly lost my motivation and gained back 10 pounds. That's when I found you guys. I'm happy to say that you've changed things around for me. It's funny how casually listening to two people discuss various issues of weight loss can have such a great effect. Kudos to both of you.
Now for my question. What is your take on hypnosis training for weight loss? I bought a set of CDs for $100 from Tom Nicoli back when I started my healthy eating program. I can't say for sure, but maybe it helped. I did lose 30 pounds without feeling too deprived.
Here's my problem. I have tried using them again, and they don't seem to have any effect on me this time. I am considering purchasing another set from the popular Paul McKenna. I told myself it was time to stop wasting my money on gimmicks. What do you know about these techniques, and do you think it's worth a try? Thanks so much for your podcast. It is truly helpful. So in response to the first portion of the email, running a marathon is an awesome accomplishment, and that is really a huge task. If people have never run one, believe me, when you start training for one, you'll be amazed at how hard it truly is. Now, having done that marathon, you do not have any shortage of willpower. I think the problem is once you hit your goal, you seem to be a little lost. And I think most people need constant short-term goals to just keep going and going. And you have the willpower to stick to a strict plan and lose weight and do a marathon, but no matter how much willpower you have, it's not enough to stay on a diet forever. And my feeling about willpower is that it's only for short-term weight loss. I mean, that can help out quite a bit for a few days, maybe even a week, but your body's going to start fighting back really, really hard. And I think the big thing is under-eating is going to lead to overeating. Your body's biology is going to fight back if it thinks that it's starving. Now, here's the good news. I'm maintaining my weight, and it's super easy. And I've talked about this on shows and shows. If you just start eating like the thinner person you want to become, if you start eating like your maintenance weight, you're not really going to have to be working very hard at all. The weight's not going to come off, you know, in 2 or 3 weeks. It's going to come off gradually, but that's how you put the weight on. It's not a huge race to get to that finish line. The ultimate goal here in weight loss is to make it as easy as you can. You want to eat the most amount of food, work out the most effectively, you know, in the shortest amount of time and get the best benefit. The thing about willpower, it really doesn't take willpower to lose weight and maintain it for the rest of your life. It only takes willpower if you're in a total rush and you have to get down there super, super fast. So I have total confidence that if anyone does the true lifestyle change, figuring out how much you'd eat when you get to your goal weight and just start eating that for the rest of your life, everyone is going to have a fairly easy time maintaining that weight. And now for the second part, which is really the question that you were asking, all about hypnosis for weight loss.
Yes, a couple months ago here on the Fat Guy Radio Show, I interviewed a certified hypnotherapist. His name is Michael Almarez, and he's a local here in Long Beach. And he's also a member of the Long Beach Podcasters, and he agreed to come over to the studio and do a little interview and talk about weight loss and hypnosis.
So what we're going to do is play some clips from the interview, and then we're going to discuss what hypnosis is all about and what they were talking about earlier in Russ's other podcast. So let's go ahead and play the first clip.
I have a guest in the studio today. It's Michael Almarez. He is a certified hypnotherapist from Deeper States Hypnotherapy. And welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you, Russell. Good to be here. Appreciate it.
So tell me a little bit about Deeper States.
Deeper States Hypnotherapy is my company I created about 9.5 years ago. I have been in business in Sherman Oaks and just started working out here in Long Beach full time. Opened an office here in Long Beach within about the last year and a half. And losing 5 pounds a week actually is pretty possible and feasible.
Well, right on.
adding hypnotherapy and putting you on a diary that's going to show you exactly what you're doing would be a lot of getting in there and getting the process to start. Because that process has to be mental as well as physical as to where you're going with your weight reduction program.
I have to agree with that. Mental is probably 90% of weight loss.
So with the weight loss programs, because you talk about weight loss, is getting that mind to overcome the process of, oh, I have to have that whole pie, or I have to have that fourth scoop of, mashed potatoes, or I have to have the full 3-stack pancake.
Oh, that's so good. Warm syrup.
And a lot of it is changing the processes of your brain. And at Deeper States Hypnotherapy, I learned that everything you do in your life, you can monitor and change in order to get the outcome you're looking for if you get into that mental aspect.
So, Russ, what do you think so far?
Well, first, I stand by my assertion there that pancakes and warm syrup are delicious. But number two, also my statement there that weight loss is a large percentage of mental, when you have to get your mind in a place where you're not craving those foods, and I think that's still true.
Yeah, I understand. So far, it sounds reasonable to me. The only thing that I didn't really quite get was how you would lose 5 pounds a week to make that feasible.
Yeah, 5 pounds. We've talked about that before. I mean, that's a lot of weight in 1 week to lose. We've said that maybe 2 pounds as a maximum is a good idea.
So I just worked out the numbers here, and 5 pounds of fat per week is a 17,500 calorie deficit over the week, or 2,500 calories less per day you can eat. Or somehow that 2,500 calories a day is a combination of eating less and exercise. But when you look at it, the average man to maintain his weight around 180 pounds eats 2,500 calories a day. So you have to eat no calories whatsoever, zero, if you're a man and weigh 180 pounds, if you're going to lose 5 pounds a week.
You know, when you actually put the numbers to it, you know, I think I stated there that, oh, that sounds great, but sounds completely undoable.
The numbers really do add up. You really can't break thermodynamics laws. I mean, we're talking calories and energy. This is just a product of heat. And 2,500 calories is 2,500 calories of heat energy if you really work it out. So to lose that much, it might be possible. Let's say you get kidnapped in Colombia and you're not given anything to eat and they're forcing to march you through the jungle while they're calling home to get ransom. You might lose 5 pounds in a week, but the average person not doing anything extreme, it's not going to happen.
Well, and he didn't talk about, you know, any kind of working out, any kind of, you know, losing, using those calories and creating that calorie deficit by working out, by doing some, you know, aerobic activity.
But let's move on. He didn't really give too much information yet. Let's move on to the next clip where he talks about how hypnotherapy works.
Hypnotherapy works on a subconscious level. So every time we get in a subconscious level, there's something you're dealing with. Because you know that once you program this and this and this are going to happen for you, the outcome is going to be that you're going to start accomplishing what you're trying to do.
what kind of things under hypnosis would you send tell me, you know, don't eat this, eat that, exercise, do this? What process do we go through?
Let me explain my program to you. First of all, I do not remove you from any food products unless there's an issue with it. I had a client who came to me who was an assistant for a pretty big executive in a fairly large company here in Los Angeles. And she found that every day she was ordering See's candy. She would have a box of See's candy. She'd pick it up on her way to work or else somebody would bring it in her, but every day she had a box of See's candy. As she started her program with me, I give my clients first a 32-ounce bottle of non-biodegradable drinking bottle water, you know, like the refillable water bottle.
Right.
And I give them that because we want to increase the water because you're going to start detoxifying your system.
Right.
With what you're eating. Not only with what you're eating, but with the different food products, because now you're making different choices on what you're eating. So, of course, as you lose weight, of course, you know, the fat's got to go somewhere. So I want you going to the restroom a lot to get that stuff out of your system.
Sure. Yes.
And then we're going to go through, I give you a diary. You'll go through and you'll write in the diary every day. How are you feeling the morning of your day? You'll notice the reason I do that is because you'll notice that a lot of times on what you eat is going to be how you feel. If you've ever had, say, a huge bowl of ice cream right before going to bed, you wake up with that sugar hangover.
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. That sugar hangover, you're going to notice it the following day. So we're able to go through, and when we look at the meal planning that they're eating or what they're consuming, we can find a pattern of what they're having. With her, the chocolate was a problem because it was a pattern. She kept that sugar buzz all day long. So what we had to do is I had to create an ab reaction to her for chocolate. So I had her visualize that the chocolate was sitting in front of her, and it just started dematerializing on a scale. We go scale from 0 to 10. 10 being the best, ultimate, perfect piece of chocolate you've ever seen. The most beautiful, just now come out of, you know, being productive. It's just now been made. It's just came out of the production line. It's just perfect.
I can picture it. I can picture it.
Now we take it back down the opposite way. We take it down to 0, where it's just a little thing of sugar, you know. And it's no longer what it used to be all the way up into 10. Now you start taking it all the way down in hypnosis while the client's under. So they start seeing it going. You start telling them, okay, now tell me what's going to take it one level worse than it just being sugar, refined sugar. Well, maybe that it's been there for a little while and now the sugar's starting to crystallize. And you go all the way down until you get the client starting to imagine that there's just maggots in the sugar. It's just so disgusting that the maggots are starting to overflow over the sugar. You begin to see them reacting while they're in hypnosis. And they'll start reacting almost as if they're seeing it, as if they're tasting it. You take that, you have them, because you have them actually pick up whatever it is and go to put it in their mouth. You have them understand that they would never want to do this. Now, would they? You don't want to do it consciously.
Nice. So, very nice.
As you change the habits, they will start to let go of those problemed areas. Now, one thing I do in my therapy sessions with them every single time is I have them begin to crave water. I have them begin to crave wonderful, green, refreshing, cool vegetables, a salad that's so perfect that you can see just driplets of water floating off of that salad. It's so cool and refreshing.
Well, Russ, it sounded like you were really getting into that when you're talking about the chocolate and stuff, eh?
Well, apparently I am very highly suggestive. Suggestible? Whatever the term is there. Previously, I had talked to Michael, and he had categorized me as someone who's probably could be hypnotized. So I have no reason to believe that anything he said I was fully into at that moment.
Well, I guess just to talk about what he was talking about, the stuff when he was talking about getting people to drink a lot of water and keeping a food diary, that's really common to most diet programs. That's good advice whether you're doing hypnotherapy or anything else at all.
Yeah, I think if you went to a dietitian, that would be the first thing they have you do. Number one, you drink a lot of water. And number two, find out what you're actually eating and, you know, how many calories you're putting in your body. And I think a lot of people, that's, like I said, a common sense first step for anybody starting wanting to lose weight.
Now, the things that he was talking about with the chocolate, et cetera, it's kind of like if you had an addiction to something and you really had to try and break that addiction, and that one piece of chocolate that you eat every day is responsible for a lot of weight gain, I can see how this would help. But I think most of our listeners are not overweight because of just one or two items of food. They've only eaten, you only have to eat 200 or 300 calories extra a day to gain 40, 50 pounds over a couple years. So I'm not sure what percentage of the population has a particular food that they're just addicted to and can't stop eating. So there, I'm sure there are people who have that problem, but I'm not sure if that's going to be for everybody. What do you think?
I think that's true. I think the part where he talks about having them crave water and vegetables, I think that's the kind of the anti, getting rid of those addictions. He wants to create those new addictions for things that are good for you, water, vegetables, those things that are, like I said, good for you.
I think that'd be awesome if I could really, truly crave vegetables every day. I mean, I eat vegetables, pretty much 99% of the time every day I'll have some vegetables. But if I had a true craving for them, it would make it a lot easier. I don't think I would ever like a sinful food to be turned into something that I no longer like, because I feel, I've worked hard, I'm down at my maintenance weight. If I want that piece of chocolate or fudge once in a while, I would like to be able to go out and splurge, for one or two desserts and not feel bad about it. I think a lot of people who get into this diet, they really lose a proper feeling of what food is. They have a love-hate emotional attachment to food, and once they're trying to diet for a long time, they start to really feel guilty when they eat anything that's good.
Yeah, also though, that the idea of an addiction, I mean, it's those foods that, if I say that the woman with chocolate, she probably, have one piece of chocolate, and if it's a true addiction, really can't stop. And I've talked to multiple friends that are recovering alcoholics, and they say, I cannot have one drink because there's not enough alcohol in this bar to satisfy me. And I think that's, that's that really hardcore addiction that, sometimes you just go, they have to be gone. And, but I think you're right for the most part, having some kind of little treat in the house is fine, cause you're not going to be eating that every day. It's for those times, I'm going to treat myself. I've done a great job, and it's a reward, to some extent.
Well, and you're just saying about the alcoholic who just can't have one drink. I mentioned just earlier when I started answering the email question here about how under-eating really leads to overeating, because your body will fight back so hard if you deny it food for a long time or deny it the things that you like, or just a little moderation is going to keep your body on track. But let's move on to the next clip where he goes into a little bit more detail of how hypnosis works.
And we have to make sure that the client is suggestible. And, because we give them opportunities. When I do a group smoking session, I get 20 to 35 people in there. I want to make sure that I'm going to have the best candidates in there because I want them to succeed. So what I do is I do a hypnosis session with them at the beginning. I have them begin to imagine they're walking along a desert. As they walk along this desert, it's so hot and so dry. They begin to feel their mouth just getting so dry, that they can't even taste any liquid in their mouth whatsoever. Then we bring them out of the hypnosis state, and I have water in the background. I pour a glass of water. I'll say, when you open your eyes, you'll find and understand that you're craving a glass of water so bad. You'll automatically stand up, go to the back of the room, and pour yourself a glass of water. The people that go to the back of the room and pour themselves a glass of water are highly suggestible to the hypnotherapy. So I know that their chances of succeeding are pretty high. So my success rate in a group stop smoking session ends up going up from, one-on-one, I'm at about a 97%. With a group, I go down to about a 94-95%.
That's great.
And that's still pretty high.
So. Well, I don't know about you, Jeff, but I am severely thirsty right now.
I actually took a drink while I was listening to that, so there might be something to it. So the real thing that I get out of there is that you have to be truly suggestible for any of this to work.
Right. You're not going to do something when you're under hypnosis that you don't want to do. I think that's really the key here. And that those people in his session, like myself, man, I was craving water right there. He just does a great job of just describing it. You're like, I need to have some water. I am very suggestible. So I would probably be in that study and part of that success. But also, interesting enough, if you say get 97% success rate, well, those are 97% of the people who are suggestible. And probably, though, that other percentage of the classy, it's 50% are suggestible. It's 97% of the suggestible. And the other, who I, you know, not knowing how many people are in this study or in these groups, those people then, you know, maybe just not even included in the statistics.
Yeah, there's nothing really clear about how many people are suggestible. Before I talk about the 97% success rate, it reminds me of the stage hypnotists. I saw one, this was years and years ago, called Ravine. And I remember they brought people up on the stage, and he did a lot of little tests just to see if people were suggestible. Things like where he told them to hold their arms out in front of them, and he would go around and push their arms down. And the ones who resisted the most, he kept on stage. So he ended up just having the people on stage who were the most suggestible. And he probably started with 50 or 60 people up there, and the show really went on with maybe 5 or 6 people at the end. So I'm not sure if that's indicative of the percentage of people in the general population who are suggestible, but that would only be maybe 20-25% of the population, and that's the population who wanted to be on stage in the first place. So I don't know. I have no idea what percentage of the people this would truly work on. Have you ever seen any hypnotists like this, Russ?
You know, I have not. And I was always real nervous about going into one of these kind of shows because I would guess that I would be susceptible to this, to hypnosis, and I would end up making a fool of myself or just, you know, doing something that I didn't want to. That was, you know, kind of a very naive view of it. But so I never put myself in a position to actually be in an audience where there was a hypnotist.
When you actually see a show, you see exactly what he's saying and you hear everything. And I guess you have to really want for it to work and really try and relax and listen to the words to go into a trance like this. But I don't think it's possible for you to be able to do anything that you would not do. So look at the Russians. Remember when they were trying to train people to kill other people and brainwash, etc.? They could never hypnotize someone to go out and kill someone if they weren't already predisposed and wanted to kill that person in the first place. So on the stage, for example, in a hypnotist show, you can never get someone to take off all their clothes and make a fool of themselves if they would never do that in the real world.
Well, there's the problem. It might happen in the real world, so I never put myself in that place. Oh, yes. But
that's just the thing about the 97% success rate with stopping people from smoking. If this could actually be tested scientifically, if we did a study and or if there was a large study that was done and people were actually measured in a double-blind study and it was a 97% success rate, I think all the people involved would be instant millionaires, and all of the proven stop smoking pharmaceuticals such as nicotine gum and patches and all that stuff that is proven to help reduce the cravings of nicotine addiction, I think they'd all be out of business the next day. So that's a really tough claim to make. And if you make an extraordinary claim, you have to have extraordinary proof and you need a really good study to back it up. But for smoking, that's just something that is a true addiction. Food, maybe for some people it is, but maybe it isn't. Let's move on to the fourth clip. And this one here will go just a little bit more into detail.
The programs work. The thing is that you have to really find out what it is that the client's looking at and where they're, what it is that we can use that they already have in them. For instance, maybe you love vegetables. Maybe you love carrots.
I love a good piece of fruit.
Okay. So I have you envision that every day you start finding that you find the most beautiful, perfect apple. And you start putting that in your lunch bag to work. Because that apple is so cool and refreshing when you taste it. It is the sweetest apple you've ever had in your life. And every day you get an opportunity to have that perfect apple. So therefore what happens is it becomes a habit. Everything we have to do is a habit. Everything we do needs to be a habit in order for change to happen. My clients average about 5 pounds a week.
That's 5 pounds a week is an average.
Is an average.
Wow.
And it's interesting because I have a lot of people that are doing the Weight W program. I don't even know if I can say that online because they're not registered with me.
But you can say anything you want to.
Okay. They're on the Weight Watchers program. What's really interesting is that they will come and work with me and they'll combine the two programs together and they start losing like 6 to 8 pounds.
Wow.
And Weight Watchers starts freaking out and saying, oh, you know, you're losing too much.
Too, you're going to gain it back. Fast.
But, you know, 5 pounds a week is about average. If you can lose 5 pounds a week, you can keep it off. If you're losing more than that, it's kind of hard, because then what's happening is you are neglecting yourself and not giving yourself the nutrients you need. You're missing out on something. I like to keep, like I said, I don't take anything away from my clients unless we find that they're addicted to it, like the chocolate. If it doesn't have a benefit to your body, I will pull you off of it. I like to tell my clients that, you know, it's the brain goes in like a tape. It's set up like a cassette tape. So when we get in a pattern of something, in order for you to switch that pattern, you have to cut the tape and reprogram it. And it takes time. It takes time. People that go into McDonald's and they order the quarter pounder with cheese and, supersize it. It is a habit. It becomes a habit. So they're right out of their mouth is supersize it, or I want the quarter pound with cheese, supersize it. And it's because they're in that pattern. They created a pattern. We do that with everything.
All right. So this one, number one, I still enjoy a good piece of fruit. It's been months now and that's still true. But mostly there, he's talking about some habits and about breaking bad habits and creating new good habits. And I tend to think that's a good idea. You know, I've heard in the past, it takes 21 days of doing something in a row to make it a habit. And so I've always used that kind of rule of thumb. If I can do this for 21 days, I can then do it for forever.
Well, if you remember, one of my New Year's resolutions was to eat an apple every single day this year, or at least eat 365 apples throughout the course of the year. And I started by marking down on a calendar every time that I ate an apple, and it literally did become a habit. Every weekend, I usually buy about a dozen apples, and I eat them throughout the week. And it's something that I just do every single day. It's part of what I eat. So it is true. You somehow have to get motivated to start to change, and as long as you can keep it up for a while, it gets easier and easier to do.
I think the opposite is true also. If you are, say, working out or going on a walk or on a run, and you stop, it gets the longer you go without doing it, the easier it is to not pick it up again, to not do it. You can create that negative habit just as easily as you can a positive one. And I think a lot of people would say, like, join a gym, say, and they go for a month or two and they're like really gung-ho, and something happens, an injury, or they get sick, and then they don't go for 2 or 3 weeks, and then the rest of the year they're like, they're killing themselves because they're not going to the gym. Meanwhile, it's still there. It's still available. They're just not going.
Oh, it's so easy to fall off the wagon because it takes no effort to stop what you're doing. It takes a lot of effort to actually change what you're doing. But I think when you fall off the wagon like that, when I'm not going to the gym for a month for whatever reason, I really have to get a schedule and force myself to go for a couple of weeks before it becomes enjoyable again and I start going again. Because I know it's just easier to sit at home on the couch. It's way, way easier.
So now the 8 pounds per week. Now, you already said that obviously 5 pounds a week is a daily caloric deficit of 2,500. How many calories do I have to not eat in a day to lose 8 pounds in a week?
Oh, it's only 4,000 negative calories per day. So that means the average 180-pound man to lose 8 pounds a week, I just kind of worked this out roughly here, he would have to fast for an entire week, not eat anything, and run 10 to 15 miles every single day to have a negative caloric intake of 4,000 calories and lose 8 pounds. So when we're talking about Weight Watchers, I know they lose reasonable weight. Let's say 2 pounds is kind of the upper limit of what they suggest. So that means when they go to hypnosis, they're losing an extra 5 or 6 pounds above what they're eating. So I don't know what possible mechanism could make you lose all of that extra weight if you're following a fairly regimented program where the calories are approximately, a reasonable amount through Weight Watchers. How are you going to lose all of this extra weight? I don't really understand it, because like I said, calories in versus calories out, you can't really get around those laws. Sure, you can sit in a sauna for a couple hours and lose a couple pounds of water, but that's not true fat loss. That is just weight loss.
All right, and let's move on to our last clip. he's going to make me bark like a dog. That's it.
No, you have to remember one thing with hypnotherapy is that the client has to be willing. First of all, they came to me because they want change. So that's a good sign. That's the beginning of change. That's hypnotherapy works like that. If I was to say, you know, Russell, I'm going to hypnotize you tonight. And if you were to say, oh, hell no, I'm not being hypnotized, you won't go under. Because you will make the conscious decision to not allow yourself to relax. So you have to have the okay from the client to be able to go into that relaxed state, because that's what hypnosis is. It's a very deepened, heightened awareness of relaxation.
So I think the big thing that I got out of that last clip is that you have to be truly motivated and want to make a change before hypnotherapy will make a difference.
Yeah. And if you're listening to us right now on this podcast, you know, you are motivated. You want to lose weight. You're thinking, I'm going to get some advice here from these guys and start on this weight loss journey. So that is, you're motivated already. And I think that's the first step, getting to a point where you say, I've had enough of this lifestyle that I've been leading. It's time for me to get into a fit lifestyle.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense for us. And I'm thinking, if people truly have the desire to follow advice and follow through, then any advice from a fitness professional, a doctor, a trainer, or even what we're saying on the podcast is going to help you. If we are telling you to eat a reasonable diet and exercise moderately and lose weight gradually, and you follow it for the rest of your life, yes, it's going to work. If you listen to a hypnotherapist who tells you under hypnosis to do the exact same thing and you follow it, it still works. It's really the same advice, but how are you going to get motivated to actually do it? That's really what we're talking about here.
I have to say this, though. When I have been running in the past and I come up against a wall where I'm, you know, I think my body cannot go anymore, I have used positive thinking, visualizing what I am, what I'm going to look like because of the effort that I'm putting out, that I'm going to be looking so much better because of that. And that really gets me past those moments where my body is saying, no, I want to stop. My mind is making it go further. And I think that's a big thing here, that your mind can help in immeasurable ways to help you lose weight, but you have to want to do it first.
I totally understand that the power of the mind. When you look at professional athletes, how they can visualize and get themselves in states, you know, for optimum performance, it really does make a difference. They can kind of self-hypnotize themselves. When you look at a sprinter, for example, right before they're about to get in a race, and you look at them all, they're all totally focused, they're ready to go, they're right on their game. Same thing with weight loss. A lot of people can do this with setting really short, measurable goals and having things that they can see they want to do for this day and the next day. And I think another way to do that is just really to have a lot of goals, a lot of short-term goals that you can accomplish every day. That's one way to motivate yourself as well. Now, as for hypnosis, I was reading through a couple websites, and it really sounds like when you go into these deep relaxation states and you're being talked to and given advice for weight loss, etc., people come out of that really relaxed and rejuvenated, and they say they feel like they just had a great nap, and they feel really, really good after it. Now, here's a quote that I took off the website of Deeper States. By the end of the session, you'll not only feel completely relaxed and rejuvenated, but you'll now subconsciously know what you need to do to lose weight. This is the magic behind the weight loss programs, and it's what keeps our clients coming back time and time again. And I'm just thinking, why are people coming back time and time again? Don't you want to go there once and then lose the weight and not gain it and come back over and over? So Russ, during your first interview, did you find out how much this costs?
You know, I did not ask Michael the cost on the interview, but afterward, as he was leaving, I did ask, you know, what these sessions might cost. And I don't have complete recall on this, but it was somewhere upwards of $1,000. Remembering. So it is not cheap by any means.
Wow, that's quite a lot. That's more than an entire year's membership at a gym. Where you'd definitely burn more calories at the gym than you would during a hypnosis session, for sure. But I think, you know, if you're already going to the gym, you're already eating properly, I guess this couldn't hurt if you can afford it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'd put my money other places first, and then this would be a backup plan.
Well, I hope this gave everyone some sort of idea of what hypnosis is like for weight loss. I know you can even buy a lot of tape programs, or I mean now DVD programs and audio programs, where you can hear these kind of suggestions and get yourself in a state of hypnosis by listening to these. And there's even programs that will have subliminal hypnosis in there somehow. If anything, I think this would be a supplement, and we're not really sure how much it will help you, but it's not shown to hurt you. So like we said, if you could afford it, I guess it couldn't hurt in the long run. Let's move on to the recipe of the week.
Yes. Now we've had quite a few people help out by bringing us meals here in the last 2 weeks. And one person brought over some coleslaw, and I'm sure it wasn't any kind of great low calorie coleslaw, but it got me thinking about how can I get some easy, low-fat, low-calorie coleslaw that tastes great, but it's not going to have all that mayonnaise and other ingredients in it. So I did a little search here, and I found this one. It was called Easy Low-Fat Coleslaw, and it uses fat-free mayonnaise and some cider vinegar, some mustard, and a couple other things. And you can use this easy, ready shredded coleslaw mix. So take a look at it. And this would go great with a sandwich. Sounds really good. So take a look at this easy low-fat coleslaw recipe. And Jeff, what kind of homework do we have this week?
So what I was thinking, most of our listeners would already know what to tell a hypnotherapist, what they should tell them while they're under in hypnosis, because they already know the stuff. So I was thinking for our listeners, if you can think yourself and write this down, what are the 10 things that you would tell a hypnotherapist to drill down into your head and convince you to do? You already know 10 things that you could do to make your weight loss a little bit easier, make yourself a little bit healthier. If you could convince yourself through hypnosis to do 10 things for your weight loss program, what would they be? Write them down. And I think that is going to give people a lot of insight into already what they already know. And now we just have to follow through. So that's the homework for this week.
All right, excellent. And do we have a motivational quote?
I have a very simple quote, and this is the one that goes perfect for weight loss. By the yard, it's hard. By the inch, it's a cinch. And that's from Robert Schuller. Some good advice.
All right, great advice. Thank you very much, Jeff. And all you listeners out there, for your homework, put those lists of things that you want to tell the hypnotherapist on the blog, on the website, over at fattofitradio.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading the show. And we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.